Politico London Playbook, Labour Tailspin, Good News Brexit, Obama Sparkle. By Tom McTague. Send tips here, subscribe for free, view in your browser. Good Thursday morning. Tom McTague here again, Politico's chief UK correspondent, filling in for Jack for the rest of the week. Is soccer ball actually coming, House? It might be. But not until 2030. Driving the day. Anti-Semitism, another day, another cascade of allegations. Too many, and too depressing, to detail in full. Here, though, are the top lines. The Times, Jeremy Corbyn compared Israel's actions in Gaza to those of Nazi Germany at Stalingrad and Leningrad. The Labour leader, then a backbench MP, told a rally outside the Israeli embassy in London. In 2010, I was in Gaza 3 months ago. I saw the psychological damage to a whole generation who've been imprisoned for as long as the siege of Leningrad and Stalingrad took place. Footage also emerged yesterday of Mr. Corbyn apparently praising on Iranian state TV in 2012 the release of Hamas terrorists. He asked whether there was a serious case against any of the more than 1,000 Palestinians freed in a prisoner swap. They had been convicted of the murder of almost 600 Israelis. Independent, leaked conversations show members of the Jeremy Corbyn supporting Momentum group in Barnet, North London, claimed security guards were stationed outside synagogues to generate an atmosphere of insecurity because Zionists want to exploit and generate the fear of anti-Semitism. They alleged that some anti-Semitism was manufactured to scare British Jews into moving to Israel and argued it was legitimate to suggest the row over the issue was part of a conspiracy involving Jewish groups. The Telegraph, Jeremy Corbyn told police to throw Jewish dissenters out of an event in Parliament when they objected to comparisons between Israel and Nazi Germany. A Holocaust survivor has told The Telegraph. Politics Home, Jeremy Corbyn and John McDonnell called for Holocaust Memorial Day to be renamed. The Shadow Chancellor used an early day motion, a mechanism for proposing issues to be debated in the Commons, to suggest that it should be called Genocide Memorial Day, never again for anyone instead. His EDM was tabled on 27 January, Holocaust Memorial Day. Red Roar, John McDonnell signed a parliamentary motion backing a group that describes Zionism as racist and anti-Semitic and pledges to oppose the State of Israel. Trouble at the top, if Jeremy Corbyn thought he could ride out the Führer, he appears to have miscalculated. If anything, the crisis is getting closer to his door every day. Last night, Momentum, the grassroots organization set up to defend Corbyn's leadership, withdrew its support for the Corbynite candidate at the center of the scandal who is seeking re-election to Labour's ruling body following his deeply insensitive comments about Jews. Peter Wilsman claims some of the allegations of anti-Semitism against the Labour Party were made up by Jewish Trump fanatics. Why It Matters, a must-read piece by The New Statesman. Stephen Bush says Momentum is now on a direct collision course with the Labour leader's office. Bush reports that John Landsman, Momentum's founder and director, in a WhatsApp conversation criticized the decision to launch disciplinary action against Margaret Hodge, a senior Jewish Labour MP, for attacking Jeremy Corbyn on the issue of anti-Semitism while failing to bring disciplinary measures against Wilsman. Kerry Murphy, Corbyn's influential chief of staff, overruled him, insisting Wilsman's apology had settled the matter. Crisis. Labour MPs are now warning the issue has become a full-blown crisis for the party. On Twitter, former Foreign Secretary David Miliband said, "The Labour Party is full of good-principled people like Ian Austin. It is so important never to lose the outrage at what is being done to our party by its leadership. The hypocrisy and denialism are a threat to our whole purpose." In The Independent, well-connected veteran lobby hack Andy Grice warns the party could split. Visa scandal. More top-notch investigative reporting from The Times, which splashes on allegations the Home Office has turned a blind eye to the abuse of British teenagers by handing visas to the foreign husbands they have been illegally forced to marry. It is not the first such story unearthed by the paper. The Times first exposed the Rochdale grooming and rape scandal as well as widespread sex abuse among international aid workers earlier this year. The paper says there were dozens of reports last year that women wanted to block visas for men they had been made to marry in countries including Pakistan, India, Bangladesh and the United Arab Emirates. In almost half of their cases the visas were approved. Tip of the iceberg, the paper says experts believe there are thousands of victims in Britain as the vast majority are too afraid to come forward. Bullying, Veteran Labour MP Keith Voss was last night the subject of a BBC Newsnight investigation in which he was accused of bullying House of Commons clerks who queried his overseas trip expenses. Jenny McCulloch, who worked as a clerk until 2011, claims Voss told her she was bad at her job because she was not a mother. McCulloch claims that in 2008, after an opulent unscheduled dinner with mysterious Ukrainian politicians, she raised concerns over who was paying for the event and was subjected to a tirade from Voss in a hotel lobby in Kiev. A representative for Voss told the program that he denied bullying and said, "No complaint or allegation of this nature has ever been brought to his attention." The BBC's write-up of the story is here. Voss quit as the head of the Home Affairs Select Committee in 2016 after a report he hired prostitutes. Explain this extraordinary story in the Financial Times. Former Tory party chairman Grant Shapps announced he was resigning from a potentially extremely lucrative advisory role at a technology startup after the paper discovered a secret pay deal that would have seen him receive cryptocurrency tokens expected to be worth hundreds of thousands of pounds. In the Register of Members' Financial Interests, Shapps had listed his role at Open Bricks as unpaid. Bizarro Corner, the most thoughtful face story of the day goes to The Mirror's Ben Glaze, who reveals one of the Conservative Party's candidates for London mayor, a woman called Joy Morrissey, who The Mirror previously revealed had appeared in a smutty film wearing a basque and riding a man like a horse, claimed she had been a local councillor for a decade when actually she had only been one for 4 years. Make of that what you will. Join the Global Public Affairs Forum, an international event dedicated to C-level public affairs professionals on September 28, in Paris. Featuring inspirational keynote speeches, thought-provoking debates and exceptional networking opportunities, the forum will provide a unique opportunity to meet the brightest minds in public affairs from a wide range of sectors and countries. Don't miss your chance to listen to one of our expert speakers, Dr. Petra Lox, Head of Global Public Affairs Policy at Novartis Pharma AG. World of Brexit. Chinks of light, something is happening. It's not yet clear exactly what, but the Brexit mood music has changed. Where there was once only despair, something else now exists. Certainly not confidence, but perhaps the stirrings of hope that a deal could still be salvaged. The FT's Alex Parker picks up the mood in Brussels with a piece that has caught the attention of Westminster's Brexit watchers. The EU is willing to fudge crucial Brexit negotiations, Parker writes, if it helps Theresa May avoid a no-deal outcome. The Telegraph's Peter Foster also does not think May's Chequers plan is dead. What's the idea? It's simple, really. As long as the two sides can agree to a mutually acceptable Irish backstop clause, still a big if, then the terms of the divorce are as good as settled and the withdrawal agreement is good to go. All the other controversial bits and bobs in May's compromise Chequers plan for what the future relationship will look like can be dealt with in the transition period once Britain has left the EU on March 29 next year. Not so fast. While there is clearly a certain logic to this kick-it-down-the-road approach, this after all is something both sides are pretty good at. It might not be enough for the House of Commons, which will have to sign off a £40 billion check to Brussels without knowing what future relationship it is going to get in return. The Guardian picks up concern among Remainers at this so-called blind Brexit. France, worth listening out for former British ambassador to Paris, Peter Ricketts, who, along with En Marche's Bruno Bonnell, has been given the coveted 8:10 a.m. slot on Radio 4's Today program this morning. On Twitter last night, Ricketts said he was looking forward to talking about the upcoming May-Macron summit and the likelihood the French will break ranks with the Commission to help save the Prime Minister's Chequers plan. That's the same plan hardliners in the Berlaymonde insist is just a complicated form of cherry-picking bits of the single market Britain would like to remain part of. Goods and capital, without accepting the other obligations of membership, free movement of people and services. Border Free, a nice scoop for Business Insider, which reports the government is considering allowing the free movement for EU citizens at the UK border to continue if Britain leaves the EU without a deal. The controversial plan, the details of which were discussed by Border Force officials in January, would allow no more checks at the border, according to written notes of the meeting sent to the website. Read the full story here. Bad health, The Mirror has obtained impact reports from Kingston Hospital, the local hospital of Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab, revealing the potential impact of a bad Brexit on the NHS. According to the paper, patients face being put at risk due to a shortage of staff and delays in importing life-saving medicine from March 2019. The warnings are set out in 8 pages of risk analysis prepared for Kingston Hospital's Executive Management Committee. Today in Westminster. Recess, the House of Commons is in recess until September 4. Rate rise, will the Bank of England raise interest rates again? Many pundits expect so. The bank's 9-strong Monetary Policy Committee will announce the decision at noon today, and expectations are that rates will jump to 0.75% from 0.5%. It would mark only the second rise since the financial crisis, following last November's quarter-point jump. Obama Sparkle, Harvard professor Jason Furman, former chief economic advisor to Barack Obama, has been brought in by the Treasury to examine digital competition in the UK. According to an announcement released last night, Furman will lead an expert panel looking at the threats posed by all-powerful web giants like Google, Facebook, and Amazon, which could smother competition. In a press notice, Furman said he wanted to look at the impact of people's data being held by just a few giant companies. A review to keep an eye on. Media Round. Today, Labour MP Rachel Reeves, 7:09 a.m. Peter Ricketts, former UK ambassador to France, and Denmark's Bruno Bonnell, 8:10 a.m. Scotland's Secretary David Mundell, 8:45 a.m. Reviewing the papers tonight, BBC News, 10:45 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. Former Tony Blair adviser Lance Price and Sunday Times deputy political editor Caroline Wheeler, Sky News, 10:30 p.m. and 11:30 p.m. Chief leader writer for The Observer Sonia Sotta and Spiked Online editor Brandon O'Neill. Today's front pages. Click on the publication's name to see its front page. City AM, House of Horrors. Daily Express, £31 billion heatwave boost to economy. Daily Mirror, Brits 118F whole hell. Financial Times, House of Fraser's future in doubt. Huff Post, grave risk. Labour MPs plead with Corbyn to avoid crisis. Independent, Momentum accused in Labour anti-Semitism row. Jewish News, the nightmare that never ends. Metro, Three Lions World Cup bid in 2030. The Daily Telegraph, Holocaust survivor, I was silenced by Corbyn. The Guardian, Minister's secret plan to assess role of austerity in food poverty. The Times, visas for men who force teenagers into marriage. Spectator, China's new diplomacy. On the continent, read what the rest of Europe's papers are saying in Politico's EU Press Review blog here, updated daily at around 8 a.m. Beyond the M25. From Northampton. Bankrupt, Northamptonshire County Council is facing a financial crisis regarded by experts as unparalleled in modern times. The council, The Guardian reports, which is technically insolvent and has to make up to £70 million of cuts over the next few months to balance its books, has warned residents it will in future be able to offer only stripped-back services. More here. From Harare. Election violence, 3 people were killed in the Zimbabwean capital after troops opened fire on rioting opposition supporters, the BBC reported last night. The story led the 10 p.m. news. The opposition MDC Alliance said the crackdown, allegedly to restore order, was a reminder of the dark days of Robert Mugabe's rule. Full story here. From Washington. Trade war, the Trump administration could hit $200 billion worth of Chinese goods with a 25% tariff, up from the 10% already threatened, U.S. trade officials said Wednesday. Politico's Doug Palmer has the story. Manafort trial, Politico's Josh Gerstein and Darren Samuelson have this recap of the second day of the Paul Manafort trial. Meanwhile, Christopher Cadelago reports that the White House and its allies are trying to put as much distance as possible between Donald Trump and his former campaign chairman. But Trump himself, as the New York Times reports, is once again pushing to talk to Robert Mueller. From everywhere. Migration situation, where do Europe's migrants come from, how do they get here and where do they end up? Politico's Hannah Cochlear has the infographics. From Paris, via Washington. Lessons from Obama, Politico's Zachary Young spoke with alumni of Barack Obama's 2 successful presidential campaigns to find out how his playbook could be applied to next year's European election. London Culling. Westminster weather, fire, sun, fire, oh no. It's hot and sunny again, highs of 29°C. Happy birthday to the SNP's Carol Monaghan, Conservative MP Peter Heaton-Jones. Playbook couldn't happen without my editors Oya Shevkalovich. Subscribe to the Politica newsletter family. Brussels Playbook, London Playbook, Sunday Crunch, Brussels Influence, DC Playbook, all our Politico pro-policy morning newsletters.